From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 16th. It's Riley, June 16th. 10 stories from overnight sourcing first, takes second. Let's get into it. First, from Ars Technica. SpaceX to acquire AI coding platform Cursor for $60 billion. SpaceX said it will buy the AI-powered coding platform Cursor in an all-stock deal valued at about $60 billion, with the transaction slated to close in the third quarter. The move follows SpaceX's recent IPO and the earlier merger that reshaped its sister AI unit, xAI. Cursor is essentially a version of Visual Studio Code that embeds large language model assistants directly into the editor. It was one of the first IDEs to offer that level of AI integration, letting developers generate, refactor, or debug code through conversational prompts. Since Cursor's launch, the big IDE players and a few AI firms have added similar features, so the competitive edge isn't as clear-cut as it once was. The acquisition seems aimed at bolstering SpaceX's internal tooling and keeping a foothold in the emerging AI developer market, rather than a sweeping bet on a dominant product. Next, second, from Ars Technica, SpaceX to acquire AI coding platform Cursor for $60 billion. SpaceX will acquire AI coding tool Cursor for $60 billion in an all-stock transaction, the companies announced today. The deal is expected to close in the third quarter. It comes just 2 days after SpaceX's unprecedented IPO and a few months after the merger of SpaceX and xAI, which brought a significant restructuring of xAI. Cursor was one of the first tools to fully bake features that leverage large language models into an IDE. It's a branch of Visual Studio Code with heavy AI integration. Up next, third, from Slashdot. The US government's Anthropic models ban was never about an AI jailbreak. TechCrunch's Zach Whitaker argues that the US government's abrupt export control order forcing Anthropic to pull its Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models offline was never about an AI jailbreak threat. Instead, it was driven more by personality differences between the AI company and Trump administration. Security experts say the reported guardrail bypass did not justify the order and warn that the move sets a troubling precedent. The government can unilaterally disrupt American software products without court approval, potentially undermining trust in U.S. AI providers. From the report, Katie Mouseris, a cybersecurity veteran and researcher who founded Ludus Security, said in a blog post that Anthropic recently shared with her a private copy of a paper written by security researchers describing an alleged guardrail bypass in Fable 5. Mouseris' blog post described how the researchers triggered the guardrail bypass, but said that the bypass itself should never have triggered an export control. The difference is largely between asking an AI model to review code for security issues versus asking it to fix this code. The end result is largely the same, even if the questions are posed slightly differently. The Wall Street Journal reports that the paper's authors are security researchers at Amazon. Mouseris said that Anthropic reached out to ask for her take on the paper. Mouseris and dozens of other top security researchers and experts have since called on the Trump administration to revoke the export control order, calling the move to pull advanced cybersecurity capabilities from network defenders in the U.S. as dangerous. Past administrations have made sweeping decisions on knowledge gaps. The behavior described in the paper cannot meaningfully be fixed, and any attempt would only weaken the model for defense, said Mouseris, who criticized the export control directive as hasty, heavy-handed, and misguided. For instance, language used by the U.S. government during the 2010s to fix export law covering cybersecurity tools that could also be used for cyber attacks was so broad that inadvertently, it nearly outlawed legitimate security and vulnerability research. Justin Hendricks, the editor of Tech Policy Press, said the Trump administration's move is likely to raise alarms in foreign capitals about the reliability of American AI for critical applications. The message is that AI companies in the United States can't be trusted to operate without interference. See from the U.S. government. However, the Trump administration's directive appears retaliatory. The Trump administration hasn't confirmed why it invoked its export control directive. Did the officials misread the report and freak out? Did Amazon CEO Andy Jassy say something to senior government officials that prompted the reaction, out of caution or spite? Was something lost in translation, or was this a way to pressure Anthropic, with whom the administration already has a fractious relationship? To quote Hendricks, the climate is one of a cloud of suspicion that senior officials are picking favorites based on personal and political factors. The aftermath is that the government has set a dangerous precedent about how much control it intends to wield over the release of American-made software. It's possible that the White House was unaware of the far-reaching consequences of the letter's demand, and officials are scrambling to undo the damage of their own making. This time the government took issue with Anthropic. Tomorrow it could be with anyone else. Read more of this story at Slashdot. And then, fourth, from ARS Technica Science. Key mission for Europe's commercial space enterprise scrubbed again. ISAR Aerospace's second test flight of the Spectrum rocket hit another pause. The team spotted an off-nominal reading in the vehicle's fluid system, so they called the launch offline to dig into the data and pinpoint the cause. It's the fourth launch window in 5 months that slipped. Each time the 28-meter, two-stage rocket has been staged at Andøya Spaceport in Norway. Despite the setbacks, ISAR still sits at the front of Europe's new generation launch vehicle scene, and the company says the analysis will feed directly into the next attempt. Next, fifth, from BBC News World. VAR official says hand gesture was involuntary, subconscious twitch. Video assistant referee Sean Evans has denied intentionally making a hand gesture to communicate a message, affiliation, game or belief of any kind, and claimed it was an involuntary, subconscious twitch that he was unaware of. Up next, sixth, from TechCrunch AI. The U.S. government's Anthropic models ban was never about an AI jailbreak. The Trump administration's decision that forced Anthropic to pull its latest cybersecurity models could be reactionary, retaliatory, or both. But the message is clear. The AI industry isn't immune from U.S. government interference. And then, seventh, from TechCrunch, the U.S. government's Anthropic models ban was never about an AI jailbreak. The administration slipped a new interpretation of export control rules into the code, reclassifying Anthropic's cybersecurity models as dual-use tech. The shift wasn't about a specific vulnerability. It was a legal pivot that let regulators treat the models like weapons rather than research tools. Anthropic's response was swift. They disabled the affected models, rerouted workloads to non-US infrastructure, and warned customers that the serve ICE would be unavailable until the paperwork cleared. That meant the models had to be pulled from any US-based cloud service, even though the original paperwork never mentioned a jailbreak scenario. The move caught the industry off guard because the policy change was buried in a routine amendment, not a headline-grabbing announcement. What this shows is that the government can retroactively apply existing statutes to AI products, turning a compliance issue into a strategic lever. Companies now have to audit every model for dual-use risk, not just the ones that look obviously risky. In practice, the ban sends a quiet but firm reminder. The AI landscape is subject to the same geopolitical tug-of-war as traditional tech, and the rules can shift without a public debate. Next, eighth, from BBC News Top. VAR official says hand gesture was involuntary, subconscious twitch. Video assistant referee Sean Evans has denied intentionally making a hand gesture to communicate a message, affiliation, game or belief of any kind, and claimed it was an involuntary, subconscious twitch that he was unaware of. Up next, ninth, from BBC Sport Football. VAR official says hand gesture was involuntary, subconscious twitch. Video assistant referee Sean Evans has denied intentionally making a hand gesture to communicate a message, affiliation, game or belief of any kind, and claimed it was an involuntary, subconscious twitch that he was unaware of. And then, tenth, from Storyflow Sports. Brock on Sports, June 16th. From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 16th. It's Brock, June 16th. The sports rundown, 5 stories, no fluff. Let's get into it. First, from Awful Announcing. Kansas City, Los Angeles top local ratings for early World Cup matches. Local ratings are in for the United States men's national soccer team's World Cup match against Paraguay, and the cities most interested in the game may not be the ones you expect. According to Michael Mulvihill, the president of Insights and Analytics at Fox Corporation, Kansas City had the highest English language ratings for United States-Paraguay. The #1 market for USA-Paraguay on FOX was Kansas City at a 9.2 rating and 29 share. The top 5. KC 9.2, Boston 8.6, San Diego 7.3, Dallas 7.3, St. Louis 7.3, Michael Mulvihill at Mulvihill 79, June 15, 2026. Kansas City recorded a 9.2 rating and a 29 share. A rating is the percentage of total households in a market that tuned into the game, while share is the percentage of households watching TV that were watching the game. So 9.2% of Kansas City households watched United States Paraguay, and 29% of households watching TV in Kansas City were tuned into the match. The story is slightly different when Spanish viewership is included. Combined English and Spanish language ratings show Los Angeles topping all markets with a 13.4 rating and a 42 share. For comparison, throughout the entire 2025 World Series, Los Angeles Dodgers-Toronto Blue Jays, Los Angeles averaged a 17.6 rating and a 53 share. The top 5. LA 13.4, Miami 12.4, Houston 9.6, Dallas 9.4, KC 9.4. Los Angeles was also the #1 market for the Mexico match on FOX plus TEL. Michael Mulvihill at Mulvihill 79, June 15, 2026. The combined English plus Spanish ratings generally highlight cities with large Hispanic populations. Los Angeles, Miami, and Houston are the top 3. The #1 market for USA Paraguay on FOX and Telemundo asterisk combined asterisk was Los Angeles with a 13.4 rating and a very impressive 42 share. But the English language ratings are far more interesting. Boston was No. 2 with an 8.6 rating, while San Diego, Dallas, and St. Louis tied at 7.3. Fox also revealed final national and local ratings for the opening Mexico-South Africa match and the later South Korea-Czechia match. Mexico-South Africa officially averaged 7.19 million English language viewers, while South Korea-Czechia averaged 3.07 million viewers. Mexico-South Africa was up 150% from the Qatar-Ecuador opener in 2022, which averaged 2.89 million viewers on FS1. Kansas City and San Diego continued to deliver strong local ratings for both matches. San Diego posted a 3.83 rating and 21 share for Mexico-South Africa and a 2.96 rating and 12 share for South Korea-Czechia, while Kansas City recorded a 3.43 rating and 18 share and a 2.72 rating and 10 share, respectively. As soccer becomes increasingly mainstream in the United States, which cities truly embrace the sport will continue to be fascinating to watch. The post-Kansas City, Los Angeles top local ratings for early World Cup matches appeared first on Awful Announcing. Next, second, from Awful Announcing, famed Boston sports radio host Eddie Andelman dies at 89. That's the day.